evening, Remnant, and welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard coming to you live from the Radio Ranch. Hope things are going well with you. And what a beautiful spring day we've had here today. Been working at the church today. So was out of the office. If you called, we should be in the office tomorrow. And so if you have a if you need to call the office, we'll be in tomorrow. It is May 25th, 2023, a live program tonight. And a little stormy, lightning out and about around us. Hope we don't lose power. Hopefully we can get through the broadcast. But going to have the phone lines open up in a little bit. And we will start out with a word of prayer. We hope that you do that. I tell you, I do my best to do that. We try. And I think that's what God expects us to do, is to try. We don't get it perfect, but we try. And it glorifies Him when we do that. So let's pray. Well, Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this beautiful spring day, for the rain that comes and cleanses and refreshes. And Lord, send that latter rain, that earlier and latter rain, Lord, of your word, of your Holy Spirit. Send it upon us, Lord. We ask for it. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be here, to fellowship with you and with the remnant. And Lord, just guide and direct my thoughts and words tonight. And Lord, let this almost hour broadcast, let it glorify you, Lord, and encourage your people. And we thank you for that, Lord. Father, in these days that we're in, we look to you. We look to your guiding, your word. Lord, your promise that you would not abandon us, that you are, O Lord, our stronghold, you are our refuge, and we thank you for that. And I pray this, Lord, to your glory, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to start out Psalms 12, just a couple verses here. Psalms 12, starting in verse 1, says, "Help, Lord, help." And you know, our Heavenly Father, you know, as a father, if one of my children are calling out for help, I can tell you more than likely I'm going to be there to help. Okay? I'm not going to, it's not like it's got to, that they have to beg and plead and call out 47 times and all this other stuff. No, if they call for help, more than likely, fathers, you're going to go help. And so here in Psalms 12, it says, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceases to be, for the faithful disappear from among the sons of men. They speak falsehood to one another with flattering lips, and with a double heart they speak." Flattering lips and a double heart. See, they think one thing and they say the other. They speak peace, peace when it's violence. When they have a plan to destroy, but they speak peace. Verse 3, "May the Lord cut off all flattering lips, the tongue that speaks great things, who have said, 'With our tongue we will prevail, our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us?' Because of the devastation of the afflicted, because of the groaning of the needy, now God says, 'I will arise,' says the Lord. I will set him in the safety for which he longs." Verse 6 of Psalms 12, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace on the earth, refined 7 times. You, O Lord, will keep them. You will preserve him from this generation forever. The wicked strut about on every side when vileness is exalted among the sons of men." And I think, as we see, it's exciting to me, we are living this time today. We are. The godly man, in many places, has ceased to be. The faithful disappear. Where are the faithful? If he were to return, would he find faith? He asked that. We look in our society today, everywhere you look, you see, and I hope we see it for what it is, as a war between good and evil. I've got some current events for you tonight. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different sets. six different sets. Current events. I don't know if I'll get to all of them tonight. We do have the phone lines open. 307-745-5913. If you'd like to call, we do have the lines open. But we see, and I think that's what it has come down to. It is this war of good versus evil, of Christians versus Satanists. That is coming out more and more. Not just transgenders, not just drag queens, okay? Not just lawlessness. Saw this in Oakland, California. Oakland, California. 100 serious robberies this week. 100. Okay? Have you done the math on that? 100 divided by 7 days? That's over 14 serious robberies reported per day this week in Oakland. No, not Chicago. I've got on my computer in there a link to, I think it's Chicago crime stats or something like that. And it shows how many people are shot in Chicago every day, killed, wounded, where they're shot, the ethnicity makeup, policemen wounded, shot. It's an absolute war zone, the lawlessness. Why? Because we're in a war. We're in a war of good versus evil. Remnant, I hope that's something that's the terminology, those are the words you're using today, that you are when you're speaking with, you know, when you're talking with the remnant, and when you're talking with Judeo-Christians, when you're talking with those that, well, that just might not have their eyes opened yet. I hope that's the terminology that we can, if we're not using it already, that we're starting to use, that we start to use it, because that is where we are. It is. It's an absolute war of good versus evil. You know, drinking beer has been talked about in the churches more in the last 2 months, I think, and among Christians than ever before. I you know, Tuesday morning, I've told you, Remnant, I go to a little prayer meeting in town with some. There's a couple of them get our newsletter. They're not really on our ministry. They are Judeo-Christians. They love the Lord, and I try to share Bible truths, to do all I can to be a positive influence. And in this last Tuesday, earlier this week, here comes the Bud Light truck through town, and I mentioned to the guys, hey, there's the loneliest guy in town this week, and they looked, oh, Bud Light, yeah, ha ha ha. Because if they drink beer, they're not buying Bud Light. And it's not that, you know, it's not that drinking beer is a sin. No, being a drunkard is a sin. In all things, moderation. If you're going to have a beer or two, and you can't have just a couple, you got to have a 12 or 20 pack, well, then don't have one or two. Because we're not to be a drunkard. That conversation has been in churches lately, and that's good. You know, Bud Light losing millions still. This is going on 2 months, well into a two-month debacle, and they can't buy out of it. You know, Bud Light, they've tried a camo can, and we'll see what they do this Memorial Day weekend. But they are just, you know... They're not. It doesn't seem like they're going to come back and apologize, because that's not what these corporate entities do. But you know, Bud Light is not the only one. People are many people, myself included, have been boycotting Target. I haven't been in a Target, and I've told my wife and not to go in there as well. For it's been a few years since I've been in Target. And the latest headline today, Target has lost $9 billion. That's with a B. A B, baby. Billion. $9 billion. This has just been in a few weeks. And I told you a few weeks ago, my neighbor out here in little old Laramie drove down to Fort Collins to Target looking for some, got a new family moved in last year up the road, our California family. I've mentioned them with you before. And so she's in Target down in Fort Collins looking for clothes. They've got a couple of boys, young boys. Everything, she said, no boy clothes, no girl clothes, all just transgender. Oh, it's just whatever. And what do you do? What do you do? Well, you either just go with it and dress whatever child you have in rainbows and unicorns, or you just don't shop at Target anymore. And I'm seeing that Robert, he sends emails out. I'm on his list. He sends out quite a bit and to many people, but that was something he said. He said, just say no to queer beer, to Crud Light, to Kellogg's Porn Flakes. If there's a company on earth left that you can buy, if there's no company on earth left that you can buy from with a clear conscience, don't buy it. I like how Robert puts this here. He says, make your own or do without. Make your own or do without. Absolutely. Don't drink Bud Light. Don't shop at Target. Don't buy Jack Daniels. Let these people know, and many of us, you and me and many others, have done this very thing and are fighting this war between good and evil, between Christians and Satanists. And if they're not Satanists, they stand up for Satanists, right? They do. If you have your Bible, flip over to Romans 1. We'll take a look at something there, Romans 1. But if it is a war, and so how do you fight the war? You know, in World War II, well, if you were 17 and older, you went down and just signed up. You enlisted. If you didn't, you were drafted, more than likely. And that's how you fought the war in World War II. In Vietnam, if you were drafted, for the most part, you had to go fight the war. Not getting into it right or wrong, just that's how it was. Well, how do you fight this war today, this war of good versus evil, of Christians versus Satanists, when you got Target with all their LGBTQDFBLCIB, whatever, and pushing and promoting that, and Bud Light more interested in a biological male that dresses up as a female, is effeminate, and is just a mockery to men and women. And that's what Bud Light embraces. How do you fight that war? How do you fight the North Face, too. Are you familiar with the North Face? They're a big outdoor. They make tents and coats and all types of outdoor gear, right? They're real big on that. Oh, and they've got this drag queen something that's promoting. Come out. You can come out in the outdoors, is what it says. Yes, you can come out like so many others have. They advertised in the great outdoors, and it's a crock, is what it is. It's a lie. But they're jumping on the bandwagon as well. You've heard us talk about it. The parable of the tares and the wheat. If you're not familiar with that, that's in, I think, what, Matthew, is it 13? Let me flip back. I should know my scriptures better than that. I think it is. Matthew 13, parables. The sower and the mustard seed and the tares explained. Matthew 13. That's a verse to know, folks. Okay? Those are the times we are living in. The times that the Bible spoke of. Okay? You don't need to be a Benny Hinn on TV to figure that kind of stuff out. Those are the times that we are in. We see the tares, the North Face jumping on it. Oh, let's us have a cross-dressing, queer, drag queen, something, whatever. Advertise our merchandise. Well, let's see how you do, North Face. Let's see. Disney, another 2,500 layoffs. 2,500. 500 Disney employees gone. Gone. Thank you for your service. Go work somewhere else. They talk about the downturn in the economy. Hey, it's go woke, go broke. That is playing out time after time after time. And we see it. And it's been a recurring thing. I know if you've been tuning into this broadcast, it's been talked about from the Sunday, from the pulpit on Sundays, and from this program on Thursday nights, and on Saturday mornings with the Wranglers. And I know Jason and a few of the men, he's been covering it on Gideon's Armory on Tuesday night. And it comes up when Paul and I have been on the Wednesday night prayer meeting. Because it's a war. It's a war that we are in. It is a spiritual war, and it's a physical war as well. Target, Bud Light, the North Face, Disney. How about Major League Baseball? Big baseball fans out there? Oh, there's a lot of them that have those baseball idols. They got to go to those Mets games or Braves games or whatever they are. And Major League Baseball, as well as National Hockey League and NFL, all the professional sports, they're owned and ran by the same group of Antichrist people that own and run the banks, folks. And they're pushing this queer agenda, this homosexual agenda. They're cramming this sin down your throat to try to get it accepted, to get more and more people accepted. You know, we saw that at the halftime show. We saw that in the seventh inning stretch at the ball game. We saw that there. It's just no big deal. It's everywhere. And that's what these enemies are trying to do. Kellogg's cereals? Anyway, it's war. It is absolute war. And you may say, well, I don't do that. You know, you're not, you don't partake in that. Good. Good. Don't support those that do. Don't support those that do. Back to Romans. Romans 1. Romans 1 verse 22 says, professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man. Therefore, verse 24, it says, God gave them over in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, so their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Okay? So you can talk to people today when they mention abortion, you can say it's just a lie. It's a lie. It's not the Word of God, and they have exchanged the truth of God for a lie. And this multigenders and homosexuality and this transgenderism and this pushing and promoting it, it's a lie. It is, and it's right there in Romans 1. They have exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and they promote the lie. Verse 26 of Romans 1. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. Their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way also, the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire towards one another. Men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. And when you read on through it, you see that they did not acknowledge God, and then it is the society we live in today. When you read through it, full of envy, murder, strife, wickedness, deceit, gossips, haters of God, without understanding, unloving, unmerciful. And verse 32 says, and although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death. And that's what the Bible says. The wages of sin is death. homosexuality is a sin. Lying is a sin. The wages of sin is death. That holds true for me just as much as it does for you, Remnant, and we understand that. And it holds true for them as well. So remember, when we warn them about it, is that a hate crime? Well, to the enemy it is. But we warn them out of love that, hey, you can't do that. You got to stop. You have to repent and change and turn to God. One more time. Let me finish verse 32. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. So if you know that Bud Light and Target give hearty approval to those that practice them, and you support them, where does that leave us? Where does that leave you if you support them? I think it's right there at Romans 1. Now certainly, you know, sin, we all sin. We need to be, as Christians, we need to be turning away from it, running away from it as hard and fast as possible. But we fight this war. One way we can fight it is with our checkbook, with our money, with where we spend, with what goods we purchase and what goods we don't purchase, what we buy and what we don't buy. And we share that with others. James 4:17 talks about sin. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doesn't do it, to him it's sin. That's doing good. Doing good. And not doing bad. So it's war. It is. It's just what is going on. Target losing billions. Bud Light, Anheuser-Busch losing millions of dollars. Saw this positive news here. Little good news here. Montana. Hats off to you, Montana, and the governor there, Governor Greg Gianforte, I think. Gianforte. I'm not sure how to say that. Montana becomes the first state to ban drag queen story hour in public schools and libraries. This was signed by Republican Governor Greg Gianforte on Monday, this past Monday. The new bill essentially prevents children from attending, quote, sexually oriented shows and watching obscene performances on public property. The law further defines drag queen story hour as an event hosted by a drag queen or drag king who reads children's books and engages in other learning activities with minor children present. Yay. Thank you, Montana. The fools, they're having a fit, a hissy fit, you might say. They really are. Here's a quote by the executive director of Drag Story Hour. I didn't even know there was such a thing. But see, these people have money. They have organizations. They get press releases. They get called for rebuttals. Jonathan Hamill, you're the executive director of Drag Story Hour. What's your take on this? How do you feel about all this? Where do you think they get that from? You think they're independently wealthy? No. But there's a George Soros that wants to destroy Christian America, and he funds a lot of it, along with people like Bill Gates and those types. You know that. That was a conspiracy theory for years. But that's just Soros, he's proud of it. Everybody knows that. So what does he say? This Jonathan Hamel, the executive director of Drag Story Hour, he says, Uncle Sam needs a makeover, and our drag community is here to create one. That's what he says. See, that's what the Japanese emperor said right there before December 7th, 1941. U.S. need makeover. We do it. And that's what the Axis powers were saying. And it didn't work out for them. It's war, Remnant. It is absolute war. Now, if it's not, call me up, set me straight. Send me a letter, an email, set me straight. Tell me where I got this wrong, if I've got it wrong. And I don't think I do. There's other states that have issued their own bans or regulations on drag performances targeting children. Montana was the first signaling out banning the Drag Queen Story Hour. Florida and Tennessee both have they put in things to restrict who can attend these things. You know, you get this screaming of the First Amendment and the right to express themselves and all this stuff. This was not the intent that our forefathers, our founding fathers had when they wrote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and the amendments to the Constitution, folks. It's not. Now, the other thing about Montana, they're the first state in the union to ban the Chinese-owned social media platform, TikTok, knowing that its connection to the communist-controlled government of China will compromise people's privacy. The governor of Montana says the Chinese Communist Party uses TikTok to spy on Americans, to violate their privacy, and collect their personal, private, and sensitive information, and all that is well documented. Yeah, it's been going on. And you know what? The Chinese don't deny it. They don't deny it. They don't. I thought there was another quote here. Let me see. Yeah. TikTok spokesperson Brooke Oberwet said in a statement that the governor has signed a bill that infringes on the First Amendment rights of the people of Montana by unlawfully banning TikTok, a platform that empowers hundreds of thousands of people across the state. We want to reassure Montanans that they can continue using TikTok to express themselves, earn a living, and find community as we continue working to defend the rights of our users inside and outside of Montana. See, they don't deny it. They just give you a bunch of words. Didn't we read something in Psalms 12 about words? The words of the Lord are pure words. Verse 3, may the Lord cut off. This is Psalms 12, verse 3. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips, the tongue that speaks great things. Oh, blah, blah, blah. We just are so proud and glad that Montanans can still use TikTok and blah, blah, to express their individuality. The tongue that speaks great things, who have said, with our tongue we will prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? See, they think because they say it, that that's it. They mock God with that. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips, all of the tongues that speak great things. Right there. Psalms 12. Well, Remnant, phone lines are open. I'm running out of voice here. Let me get a drink. Been a beautiful day down cutting grass and weed eating and all that. Kind of the first time we got it done this year at the church. Down in Colorado, it's about 70 degrees down there. Got a little sunburn on my arms and neck and got a little parched. But it's springtime. It's time to be doing that. China. Here, what we've long been saying, Microsoft came out. Did you see that this week? That popped out. Who was it? Fox ran it. Breitbart ran it. Saw it and heard it on the radio today. China state-sponsored actor Volt Typhoon carrying out attack on U.S. critical infrastructure. With these worms and these, everything, whether it's communication, hydroelectric power, everything connected, software, hardware, it says that they are pursuing development of capabilities that could disrupt critical communications infrastructure between the United States and Asia region during future crises. They've got software and techniques and procedures in place that allow it to avoid detection by using built-in network administration tools to blend in with normal Windows systems and fly under the radar of third-party endpoint detection and response procedures. See, Chinese hackers attacking critical U.S. infrastructure. That was when President Trump was president. He got rid of that, what was it, Huayang or something like that, Huayang, the Chinese company that was pushing and promoting all the 5G, because the Chinese government was getting our special forces drone feed as fast as we were. And President Trump put them on the no-buy list for the U.S. and encouraged the European Union to do the same. Oh, and it was a conspiracy then, right? Oh, he's just crazy. He's just, he just doesn't want this. Blah, he's anti-Chinese, blah, 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 blah. And now it's Microsoft saying it. Guess what? They've got the Chinese, because it's war. And so, why would you not, if you can, infiltrate your enemy's communication network so that when the time is right, you can flip the switch and then before, just all of a sudden, they're communicate with each other and then see what happens? That's what they've set up to do because it's war. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Most of our people don't realize we are at war. It's a spiritual battle that we're in. Again, like I said, Christians versus Satanists versus those that... It's a battle of the children of God and the children of the devil. And as the children of God, we are to be doing the will of our Father who is in heaven, right? Proclaiming that good news gospel, proclaiming the abundant life that Jesus Christ came to give and died on the cross to give us versus the children of the devil. Their father, the Bible says, was a murderer from the beginning. He comes to do what? To steal, kill, and destroy. And it's one or the other. Oh, there's some that are still riding the fence, but they're gonna go one way or the other eventually. But it really is. It is a battle between good and evil, between Christians, sons of God, and sons of the evil one. Those of the spirit and those of the flesh. First John 2, a couple scriptures. I want to thank Robert, I know he's not listening in, but if he gets back to him, he has sent a couple scriptures in, and I think it just fits just perfect right here because it's where we are. It is. I think it fits perfect. First John 2, verse 3 says, and hereby we do know that we know Jesus, we know our God, if we keep his commandments. And if you say, well, let's just turn there. Let's just turn there. 1 John. Right back here. I had it printed out, but let's read a little bit more of it. 1 John chapter 2. Okay. 1 John 2. Let's just start with 1 John 2, verse 1. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. There ain't but one way to God the Father, and that is through Jesus Christ the Son. He, and he alone, paid the price for your sin and my sin and the sins of the whole world, as John writes here. Whatever that entails, okay? If in your thought and your it's just those that he gave the law to, well, okay, that's who were held to the law. If it's the whole world, like the parable of the treasure hid in the field, and then the field is bought so that you get the field, he gets the field and the treasure, whatever. Verse 3, by this we know that we have come to know him, Jesus Christ, if we keep his commandments. The one who says, I've come to know him, and does not keep his commandments, he is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. Do we walk as perfect as Jesus Christ did? No, but we have a goal. When we find ourselves not doing this, not walking in the same manner as he walked, not thinking in the same manner as we read in this word, what do we do? Oh, well, that was for then. But that's not for now. No, we change our thoughts. We change our walk. We repent and we pray to be more like him, to succeed when we are tempted, and to not be led into temptation, but to be delivered from all harm and all evil as we pray, and to have victory just as Christ was victorious. That's what I think, that's what I get out of this. And then he goes on, he says, beloved, I'm not writing a new commandment to you, but an old commandment, which you've had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard. He says, on the other hand, I am writing a new commandment to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. The one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in the dark. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there's no cause for stumbling in him. But the one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and doesn't know where he's going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. See, this is just a restating of what Jesus said when he was quizzed on the greatest commandment. Oh, Lord, what do you say is the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, love God and love your neighbor. And everything else falls in place. And John is just repeating that, saying that same thing. Well, remnant, few minutes left. 307-745-5913. You know, sometimes you might listen to whether it's a Jocko podcast or you know, some of the ex Navy SEALs and those on gun handling and tactics and home defense and stuff. You know, because those are important things. You need to know those things. Those are not bad things. There's a, what is it called, sheepdog response or something like that. You know, some people online that push and promote, defending yourself and defending others and standing up for those that do and things like that. And those are great things to know to whatever extent you can. Okay? If the extent is having a baseball bat by your bedroom, by your bed, okay. If that's the extent you can go, being aware, if you can go further than that in the defense of yourself and your home and your family, then so be it. The first step is awareness, right? Being aware. And it's that way in the spiritual war that we are in as well. Being aware. And Remnant, I know I'm preaching to the choir here. I'm speaking to those that are aware, for the most part, that do know. But you know, we all have friends and family that don't, that just don't get it. And so that's what we at this ministry are trying to do to help you, to equip you, to help them, to equip you to have the opportunity, maybe to plant a seed that, you know, maybe you'll remember Romans 1 that we've talked about, or Romans 6 regarding baptism and dying with him symbolically with Jesus so that we can share in the glory of his resurrection. Or right here in 1 John, that when John warned, he said, I'm writing to you so you don't sin. And if you say that you love Jesus, if you say that you are his follower, you got to be doing the things he did. You have to be believing truth, and not the way of the world. And if the church you're going to is in conflict with this word of God, you're going to the wrong church. We just point to the word. That's what we try to do. We try to point you to the word. And that's what Pastor Peter's taught. He taught us so much. What a gifted prophet he was. What a gifted teacher he was. I know I don't hold a candle to him. When the word says that how beautiful are the feet of them that bring good news, let me tell you, Pastor Peter's had beautiful feet. Okay? Because he brought this good news to so many of us. He pointed us to the word. He pointed us to sin. And he pointed us to the word that told us the wages of sin is death, but that word also tells us that we can be forgiven, that we can repent and not have to have those wages of sin be death. He pointed us to that word. And that is so important. That is that, you know, now it's our job to do that very thing, to do in our circles, wherever we are, to do that very thing, to encourage one another, to help one another point out these very things. And right now, I think it is that we are at war. So many are seeing it. They are realizing it. They are turning away, just like Montana. You know, I don't know the governor of Montana. If he's a Christian, I don't know about the House and the Senate there in Montana, if they're all Republican or Democrat or believers or not or whatever. But I know their fruit is good by banning this abomination that's come upon our children. I know their fruit is good. And so whether they realize that they're, by moving away from evil, by moving away from what is defined as sin in the Bible, by moving away from that, which direction are they moving? They're moving in the right direction. They're moving toward God. Doesn't mean that they understand it all. Doesn't mean that they've got it all figured out. No, but they're moving in the right direction. And we see that. You see it, Remnant. I see it in places, pieces, here and there. Little pinpricks of light in the darkness of this world. That I hope it gives you hope like it gives me hope. Well, the last piece of current events ahead, I guess Florida Governor Ron DeSantis announced yesterday he's running for president. So the very next day, the Mexican president, Andrés Manuel López Obrador, okay, did you get all that? Mexican president, Andrés Manuel López Obrador, says, don't give DeSantis any votes. He's speaking, urged Hispanics not to vote for Governor Rick DeSantis. Wanted to share that with you. So if you're in the political scene, if you are interested in that, I thought that was pretty interesting. So we'll see. He says, starting today, we're going to start an information campaign for Mexicans who live and work in the United States and for all Hispanics to inform them of what we're doing in Mexico and how this initiative by the Republicans, in addition to being irresponsible, is an offense against the people of Mexico, a lack of respect for our independence, our sovereignty. You talk about what we read about in Psalms 12, bunches of words and flattering tongues, and it's all lies. It's all lies. They don't like DeSantis because he, you know, he says, wait a minute, we have laws, and you have to follow the law. You know, Jesus in Matthew 5. Let's flip back there, and I think we'll finish up with this tonight. Matthew 5, some red letters. Matthew 5, starting in verse, you know, this is the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are you are when people insult you. You know, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world, a city set on a hill. Right? We remember those? Motivational words, encouraging words. Okay, by Jesus Christ. Verse 17, he says, don't think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away. Now, have heaven and earth passed away? Here's another one you can talk to your friends about. You can ask your pastor, Matthew 5, right? Truly I say unto you, now when Jesus Christ says truly, guess what? You can take that to the bank. You can count on that one. That's a double dog dare you positive. I mean, it's just right. This is it. He says, truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law until all is accomplished. My brothers and sisters, heaven and earth has not passed away yet. It's not. It hasn't. That's early in the gospel. That's early in the time that Jesus came in the New Testament and walked the earth as a man. And so that precedence should carry through everything in the scriptures that we read. He fulfilled the law. He didn't do away with it. He says, if you abide in me, do what I tell you to do. Walk in the way that I walked. Sometimes it ain't easy. I'll grant you that. But we're all, we all, as the word says, can do all things, right? Through Christ who strengthens us. We can read his word. We can strive to draw closer to him. We can try our best to forgive when we are given the opportunity. We can try our best to love God with all our heart, mind, and soul, to love our neighbors ourselves. What a difference this world would be if more and more tried to do that. Well, that's all the voice I got for you, Remnant. That's all my notes. Thanks for tuning in. Keep us in your prayers, Remnant, here at Scriptures for America. Know that we pray for you, the Remnant. We do. We pray for God's blessings and protection to be upon you, and for you to be protected and to thrive in these dark days that we're in, and to take advantage of the opportunities that God puts before you to share his word. I want to invite you to come back Saturday morning at 7 a.m. Mountain, 8 a.m. Central, 9 a.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. on 6 a.m. on the West Coast for Coffee with the Wranglers. We're planning on being here with the phone lines open. We hope you can join us for fellowship and praise to the King of Kings. God bless. We'll talk to you Friday morning.
This is WTWW, Lebanon, Tennessee, USA.